All right, let's have some definitions, because covenants, as you will see here, this is taken from the Covenants by Kevin Connor and Ken Malfman. The revocable covenant, which we just discussed, is thus: a revocable covenant is one in which God obligates himself to fulfill the promises of the covenant only upon man's obedience to the conditions attached to it by God. If the covenant is broken by man, God is not obligated to fulfill his part and is disannulled and no longer remains in effect. This is particularly illustrated in the Mosaic covenant. God stated to Jeremiah concerning the covenant, this covenant, which my covenant they break, Jeremiah 31:32. He also told Zechariah that I might break my covenant which I have made with all the people, Zechariah 11:10. Paul spoke of this covenant as being abolished, 2 Corinthians 3:13, decaying, waxing old, and ready to vanish away, Hebrews 8. All of these terms serve to confirm the revocability of the Mosaic covenant. Now let me talk about the irrevocable covenants. An irrevocable covenant is one in which God obligates himself to fulfill the promises of the covenant regardless of man's response. It remains in effect whether or not man is fulfilling the conditions of it. The strength of an irrevocable covenant is found in the keywords, I will. Following are two examples. One, the Abrahamic covenant. God promised Abraham, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sands upon which is upon the seashore. Genesis 22:17. Though in the context of this promise, the obedience of Abraham is referred to, there is no mention of his seed needing to remain obedient in order for this covenant promise to remain in effect. Abraham's seed was to be innumerable as the stars and sand, regardless of their goodness or wickedness. And the second one is the Davidic covenant. God promised David, I will set up thy seed after thee, and I will establish his kingdom. 2 Samuel 7:12. This promise guaranteed David that there would always be one of his descendants sitting upon his throne. There is no mention of their obedience as a condition for the promise to remain in effect. In reference to their disobedience, God did promise, if he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men. But my mercy shall not depart away. 2 Samuel 7:14 and 15. Regardless of the goodness or wickedness of the Davidic kings, this covenant promise would remain irrevocable. All right, for further understanding, I'm going to read a couple more ideas about what scriptural biblical covenants are. This is still from Kevin Connor and Ken Malton, the covenants. How are the covenants interrelated? It's important we understand this. Because the covenants of God to man are but fragments of the whole, and each are part of the progressive revelation, there is interrelatedness between them. They're interwoven together from beginning to end. All right. I'm going to jump down here, forgetting the Adam and Noahic covenants, to two subsequent covenants were given. These being the Davidic and the New Covenants. A study of these covenants showed that they were actually a part of the Abrahamic covenant. The Davidic covenant involves the kings of the house of David and of the tribe of Judah. It is the full manifestation of the promise of kings as given in the Abrahamic covenant. Covenant consummating in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The new covenant is the fulfillment and fullest expression of the promise in the Abrahamic covenant concerning his seed blessing all the nations of the earth. This includes both believing Israelites and Gentiles coming into salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Davidic and the New Covenants were in the Abrahamic Covenant. The Adamic, Noahic, Abrahamic, Davidic, and New Covenants as covenants of redemption are all interrelated and extensions and fulfillments of each other, consummating in the New Covenant. These covenants of redemption were designed to bring man back to the fulfillment of the covenant of creation, the Adamic covenant. Hence, their interrelatedness. Now, two covenants that are vitally linked and interwoven together are the Mosaic and the Palestinian covenants. All right, so now we're talking Mosaic, those who were under the law, and the land. These two covenants, commentary right there. All right, Palestinian covenants. These two covenants are unique in that they pertain strictly to the nation of Israel. The Mosaic covenant was expressed in moral, civil, and ceremonial laws which govern the life of the people of Israel. The Palestinian covenant pertained to the laws and conditions for Israel living in the land of Canaan. An analysis of the Mosaic and Palestinian covenants reveal their link with the Abrahamic covenant. Involved in the Abrahamic covenant were promises concerning Abraham's seeds and that seed's possessing of the promised land. The Mosaic covenant concerned the people, the seed of Abraham. The Palestinian covenant concerned the land promised in the Abrahamic covenant. However, the Abrahamic covenant was characterized by grace and faith, while the Mosaic and Palestinian covenants were characterized by law and works. These things together show the marvelous interrelatedness of the covenants of creation and redemption. Finally, the everlasting covenant made in the heavens in eternity past between the divine persons is revealed to be the all-inclusive covenant. It includes in itself the covenant of creation and all the covenants of redemption. As noted previously, all covenants made by God on earth relative to mankind are but the progressive unfolding of this covenant of eternity. The new covenant, the end, makes it possible. The Edenic covenant, the beginning, and all other covenants between are but links in the covenantal chain of divine revelation, in which Hebrews 8 clearly spells this out. I will read for you Hebrews 8, verse 7, about the new covenant. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with it, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and none of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And this is the covenant, I believe, from Jeremiah. I'm looking for the marker here. Yes, Jeremiah 31:31-34. And Zechariah also speaks of this, and it's also mentioned in Ezekiel 36. Verse 13, Hebrews 8, in that he says a new covenant is made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Furthermore, in Romans, I'm not going to read all of this. This is a very deep subject and has to do with the heart of men, each individual as they choose. But Romans 8 talks about sin and how the law is there to show us that we're sinners. But we can't keep the law. Anyway, then Romans 9 says Israel has rejected Christ. And then in Romans 6, I think we should read that. I tell you the truth in Christ, I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continued grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed from Christ for my brother, my countrymen, according to the flesh. This is the prayer of Moses resounding through Paul. Who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all the eternally blessed God. Amen. Then in next section, verse 6 through 13, this is Israel's rejection and purposes of God. Here we get into the mysteries of God, where we need to be careful how we deal with things. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all the children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this word of promise, at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also conceived by one man, even by her father Isaac. For the children having not yet been born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. Hence the difference between the irrevocable and the revocable covenants. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger, and as it written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there any unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have compassion, on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name might be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. Do you understand that God's name is in Jerusalem, and he decides who he has mercy and who he calls? And that Paul has said he's hardened them in disbelief, that his purposes might come to pass, just as he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that his purposes might come to pass, and that the land is his, that in Jubilee, he says that the land reverses. It says in Leviticus and Numbers, when it talks about the year of Jubilee, that the land is mine. You're only temporary sojourners here, because he set his name there. In Jubilee, he says, you better be careful. You will say to me, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing that formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power of the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering, the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for his glory. Even of us who called not of the Jews only, but of also the Gentiles. This is what I said. That Jesus is our Sabbath rest in Hebrews 4. Is we enter into those foundations or those works ordained from the foundations of the earth. So if God hasn't given you a revelation of his purposes, you need it in humility, not in get a religious spirit behind you, decide what God is doing. He also says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and her beloved who is not my beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said of to them, you are not my people, they shall become sons of the living God. And Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. And as I said before, unless the Lord of Sabaoth had left us the seed, we would become like Sodom and we would have been like Gomorrah. Because no one can keep the righteous. We can't. We're fallen. We're under the powers of darkness unless we come to the light of the world, Jesus. Unless we confess him as Savior, and that his blood covenant comes in and his spirit comes in and enables us to keep the law. To keep the law. How can this happen? In Ezekiel 36:22, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake. Irrevocable covenant. O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went, and I will sanctify. God will do this. My great name, which has been profaned. Yeah, Israel's profane. And they profaned his name. And they got so many gods and so much perversion. Mitzrayim and Sodom. In that city that impaled our Lord, known as Jerusalem. My name has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. This is when the nations will know that he is the Lord. For I will take you from out of the nations and gather you out of the countries and bring you into your own land. And then I will sprinkle clean water and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. And let's look at Jeremiah 31:31, the new covenant. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. This is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, this is Hebrews 8, right? Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day and their ordinances of the moon and a star for light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. For thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundation of the earth searched out, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all they have done, and the city will be built. Let's go back to Romans. All right, Israel needs the gospel. Romans 10, gotta preach the gospel. Romans 11, Israel's rejection not total. And to Romans 11:11, Israel's rejection not final. All right, and then in Romans 11:25, and this is all about the olive tree and being broken off and all of that. Romans 11:25, for I do not desire you to be ignorant, brethren, of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles had come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. This is a mystery. So if you think you know it, you're presumptuous. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of their fathers. For the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet now you've obtained obedience. You've now obtained mercy through their disobedience. And even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through mercy shown you, they must also obtain mercy. We're to show them mercy so that they contain in mercy. We're to provoke them to jealousy. Oh, for God has committed them all to disobedience that he might have mercy on all. We were all disobedient before we came to the Lord. He had mercy on us. We need to extend mercy to them. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And this ministry of reconciliation at the cross of Jesus Christ, this is which we preach. We all need salvation. We all need saving from our sins. Because without him taking out our stony hearts and putting a new heart in, and through his Spirit, he enables us to keep his commandments and walk into his statutes and his judgments forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless his holy name.